Well, there are some positive economic headlines. Today, a coalition made up largely of call center companies announced a plan to bring 100,000 jobs to the U.S. in 2 years. New York's Governor Cuomo announced this week that the New York Racing Association will open a new call center near Buffalo to handle bets, creating 60 jobs. The Orlando Sentinel reports that companies like J.P. Morgan, Kaplan University, TravelClick are all setting up call centers there. Only don't call them call centers. They are customer service centers, and they are big business. Americans make over 43 billion customer service calls every year. That's over 1,000 every second. It's often not easy. Here's that infamous YouTube posting by one Vincent Ferrari trying to cancel his AOL service.
Last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, explain to me why.
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
It goes on like that forever. We aired it when we first spoke with journalist Emily Yellen last year. Her book is Your Call Is Not That Important to Us, Customer Service and What It Reveals About Our World and Our Lives. And in light of the trend of bringing those call service centers back to the U.S., we bring you that conversation again today. Who knew that a book on customer service could be such a riveting page-turner, which it is? You know, there we are at a call center with you in Egypt. There we are in Salt Lake City, where JetBlue is hiring Mormons to answer phones out of their homes. We learn about the Helsinki Complaint Choir. Why? Why did you start this journey on customer service?
I was on hold, believe it or not. My furnace had gone out, and I was trying to talk to my home warranty company. And I was so angry. I was freezing. And I thought, somebody needs to look into this. And I started thinking about it and realized that this is something that everybody encounters in their daily lives. And almost across the board, everybody has a horror story.
Or something they've actually acted on. You have a chapter called Random Acts of Rudeness. Some spectacular customer service gone wrong incidents. There's Mona Shaw in Manassas, Virginia. She and her husband tried to get help from Comcast. Technicians came and went. Her service was cut off. She drives to the office, is told to wait outside in the heat, and then, oh, sorry, everyone's gone home. She does what?
She goes and gets her husband's hammer and on Monday morning says, drive me back down there. She walks in the office, walks up to the desk of the woman who had blown her off on Friday and bangs her computer, her keyboard, and bashes it and says, now do I have your attention? There was a restraining order put on Mona.
Poor Mona.
But Mona became kind of a hero of all the tormented customers of Comcast who had had such problems.
Well, and look, first of all, we're saying don't try this at home. And we're also going to hear what it's like to be on the other side of customer service, not the customer, but the one trying to give the service. There was birthed a whole movement. Comcast must die. One of its leaders, NPR host Bob Garfield, he says he doesn't want the company to die. Just know what customers are going through. He has a video at his website, The Five Stages of Comcast. Let's listen.
They say you go through five stages.
No.
Denial.
No. This can't be happening.
Anger.
You are not helping me!
Bargaining.
Just give me a sign that someone's listening. Just one sign that someone's there.
Depression.
Thanks for holding. Your call is important to us. A customer service representative.
But acceptance? Or my dead body.
Comcast must die! Comcast responded.
They did. They then brought in people to monitor the internet for any mentions of Comcast and went on Twitter and various places and tried to help. And they were empowered to help in ways that customer service agents really should be. And that initiative actually changed the attitude at Comcast in general. More than ads or anything, customer service is their marketing now.
Well, and we don't have time. I mean, there's so much history here, which you go into, of sort of the attitude towards customers in American companies. And there was a time where the customer was first and right. But then suddenly we find ourselves, you know, with Lily Tomlin's character when you've got the Ma Bell conglomerate and, you know, she's saying things like, we're the phone company.
Right,
we don't have
to
care.
Right.
But then that started to shift. You've got General Electric opening its GE Answer Center in 1981.
Customer service as we know it now really started when 800 numbers and desktop computers merged, and we were able to have call centers. And suddenly companies realized that it was more efficient to answer their phones all in one place and have people trained just to do that. Plus, people didn't have to pay for 800 numbers. So that sort of became the standard. So that's how call centers evolved, and they kind of evolved from the receptionist. And that was the status that they had within companies. But as time has moved on and as technology has become much more prevalent, and certainly with cell phones and definitely with the internet, that function has become much, much, much more prominent. And a lot of companies haven't caught up. The technology is there. A lot of the knowledge of what we like and what works and what doesn't work is there. What's not there is the attitude and the understanding on the part of senior management that this is an area where you can really have an impact and differentiate yourself from your competitors, and an area to invest in, because if you do, the payoff is so great.
Well, in particular because we arrive at the age of the internet and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. We talk about Vincent, you know, trying to get out of his AOL account. That led to sites like PayPalSucks.com, AllstateInsuranceSucks.com, MicrosoftSucks.org, IHateStarbucks.com, I hate Dell, Verizon Pathetic. What's been the role of these websites?
Well, before social networking, the web became a place where people started to vent their frustration. And pretty much if you put any company's name in Google with the word sucks after it, you can find something. And that was what started this. And then when Facebook and especially Twitter came along, suddenly other people would chime in, and then it would become a chorus, and then it would become even more a revolution almost, where customers suddenly had a voice like they never had before. And that is, for those of us who are customers, very exciting. For companies, it's a huge challenge.
Right. Well, you say you suddenly have a chorus. You literally had choirs. Tell us about the Helsinki Complaint Choir. Let's just listen to a little bit. That's in Finnish, of course. We understand that they're complaining, I think, about toilet paper, the lack of toilet paper in bathrooms. But that led to the genre of complaint choirs. Let's listen to the Chicago Complaint Choir.
I started thinking, what is it that we do when we're complaining? Why are we complaining? So I started looking into the nature of complaining, and I came across something called the Complaints Choir, and it did start in Finland, and I liked that when they came to America, the founders of the Complaints Choir said, we wanted to come to America to fight the tyranny of the positive attitude in America, because their real attitude is that it's healthy to complain, it's healthy to say what's wrong and get it out and sing, and that when you do it in a chorus, it becomes kind of a catharsis for the people doing it and the people listening.
Welcome back to our conversation about something everyone loves to hate, call centers. Of course, we love them when they work. Emily Yellen is a journalist who wanted to find out everything she could about call centers and the customer service industry. She traveled the world to Egypt, northern England, where call centers have replaced coal mines. Her book is Your Call Is Not That Important to Us, Customer Service and What It Reveals About Our World and Our Lives. We spoke with her last year about some of the people she met. That includes Amtrak Julie, who answers 18 million calls a year, more per day than any human could in an entire year. I asked Emily to tell us more about Julie.
I ended up visiting a place that produces these automatic voice response systems, ended up talking to an actress who does this voice for Julie. And Amtrak really had an idea that they wanted an automated agent for answering their calls, and they thought that maybe it was a way they could save money, but also it was a way that they could handle the incoming calls quickly and efficiently. And when I spoke to the actress, her name is also Julie, and she's based in Boston.
Julie Steinford.
Mm-hmm. Right. She's very famous for saying, "Got it." And she has some pretty strong views herself. One thing she said to me was, the customer is always right, and I'm always wrong with an automated agent. It's always, "Oh, I'm sorry." Amtrak Julie was a standard for a long time of how to do this right. And what we hate so much is when it's done wrong.
Well, let's remind people of what Julie sounds like.
To check if a particular train is running on time, say train status. Or to get schedule and price information, say schedules.
And Julie also became the subject of a Saturday Night Live skit, I think actually more than one. Here she is, Amtrak Julie with Antonio Banderas.
What do you do, Julie?
I do voice recordings for various customer service lines such as American Airlines and Amtrak.
Wow. I am a CPA. I know. Boring, you know?
That's right.
No, but at this time of the year. Busy.
I think you said dizzy. Did I get that right?
No. Busy.
I think you said Lizzie.
No, busy.
My mistake.
Well, you found that there's, you know, real serious study of this, the psychology of dealing with voice systems. When you think about voice systems having to understand what we say as well, the science behind that, you write a voice system has to know the difference between someone saying, Angelina Jolie is da bomb, and I'm going to bomb Angelina Jolie. I mean, you know, this is something that top scientists are working on.
Right. And it's all about artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is what runs these automated voice systems. And anyone will tell you that artificial intelligence is not as smart as a human being yet.
Well, yet. And that reminds me of an anecdote you tell about IKEA Anna. She's the voice of IKEA. If you get frustrated with her and you start typing things in like, this is frustrating, if this is online, she'll say, I can't discuss these sorts of feelings or emotions. Please talk to me about IKEA. Yeah. Well, that's the automated customer service. Let's talk about the people who are on the other side, because you met them. There are 2.2 million customer service reps in the U.S. The highest concentration of service workers is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Lubbock, Texas, Jacksonville, Florida, Salt Lake City. Mormons who are working out of their home for JetBlue, part of another trend, call center workers actually in their own home.
Right. It's called home sourcing, and that's becoming quite a trend. And one of the advantages is that generally the people who work from home are older, they're more mature, they might have more education. For them, it's a great deal because the stress of commuting and going into an office is not there. And so you find happier workers. That was really interesting to see how they are handling mostly people from the East and West Coast. One of the women I sat with, I asked her what she thought of the people who fly on JetBlue. She said, they don't have a lot of margins in their lives. Everything is scheduled very tightly. And so if something goes wrong, if there's a delay, they get so upset. And I thought that was a really interesting observation. It kind of speaks to something I found all over. I went to 4 continents. I went all over the United States, and I've spoken to customers. I've spoken to CEOs and everyone in between. And I think that customer service really is a crossroads of our culture, and it's both a reflection of and influences the way that we treat each other in public. And so the fact that people are rude when they are calling customer service, or we feel that the agents on the other end of the line are rude, that ends up having an effect on how we think of people in the world and how we treat each other.
Well, and one reason that people mistreat people in call centers is that they resent them. We know all about this, that there's a sense that in India, Guatemala, they've taken American jobs away. Somebody wrote an article called, I Made an Indian Girl Cry and You Can Too, and people tried to do that. They got onto call centers with people in India and were beyond rude. And in fact, you remind us that call centers have sort of started moving away from India. They're not as interested anymore in working in call centers.
Right. India sort of set the standard, and now Indians have kind of had it with Americans and actually people from Britain and other places they've answered the phones for. That first iteration of outsourcing was maybe not done as skillfully as it could have been. But I think one of the things that happens to us when we call customer service and have a bad experience is we suffer from something which I don't want to make light of because it's a very serious issue. But on some level, I would say it's post-traumatic stress. We sometimes can get more angry at someone we speak to in customer service than someone we know very well. I think we feel helpless as customers, and that takes away your dignity. If a call gets to the point where the agent and the customer are at odds, it's really neither of their faults. It's really the fault of the company for putting those two people in that position. I think we need to all step back and recognize we've got all these machines, we've got to pay attention to the money, but we can't lose the humanity. We just can't lose that. And that's something that I've really seen and kind of become a crusader for now when I've looked at customer service and its importance in our lives.
That's Emily Yellen. Her book is Your Call Is Not That Important to Us, Customer Service and What It Reveals About Our World and Our Lives. Emily, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.